It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Did you just try to belch on the air?
No, I had a belch.
Well, it wasn't much of one.
I know. You should see it on the little thing. It's just a little.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
I did that right. Yes, I'm a super genius. I've now got a foolproof system for fixing the internet.
The whole thing?
Yes.
Wow.
The evil internet, because this is alternate universe Tony.
And William.
Also known as Evil Tony.
And Evil William.
And we have no idea what episode number this is. What? Oh, I found it. Good job.
That's evil producer.
Say hi, evil producer.
Oh, sorry, I didn't know I was on the podcast. I thought you were still thinking, evil producer can't find our pizza.
Sounds like the old Gauntlet game. Evil producer needs food badly.
Evil producer is
can't
about
find
to die.
Her pizza.
What do you say? You stole my food.
Oh, that was mine.
Yeah.
In the Dark Legacy one, like, you can,
oh,
if somebody opens
yeah, right.
up food and you take like, that one's mine.
Yeah, they fight over it.
Yeah, they do.
And
just for the record, my sister is Pojo.
Yes. That is a nickname we have for her.
Pojo.
Stephanie is now Pojo. Stephanie is it. Red Fighter needs food badly. I love that because it sounds so like emergency. But back in the day, what that meant is you gotta put more coins in right now, because that's what it was. Just the more coins, the more health you got. I used to play it at a nickel arcade, and you got like 250 health per nickel, I think. So I would say, need food badly. You'd be like, okay, guys, cover me, quick. And you'd shove in as many nickels as you can. And it was a great way for them to get money, because you didn't count. You just grabbed a handful of your nickels.
What, need food badly or about to die?
Usually need food badly. Oh. About to die is too quick. Oh. About to die, you're about to die.
Well, I know, means. But that seems to make more sense to me is when you'd have to put coins in. But.
Nah, I was too chicken. I would put them in earlier. If you're good, you can sort of space them out. Mm-hmm. And add them in when you need to. That helps. Anyway, welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast.
Alternate universe version.
Alternate universe version. Which means somebody fucked up something somewhere. For those of you just joining the show, we usually don't host it. But guys who sound very similar to us do. And this show has Magical Hat. It has its own email address. You write that email at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Once again, that is themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Don't ask me how I know that. I'm not sure how I know that. Write topics, questions, comments, that kind of thing. Magically turns them into little note cards that we draw out of the hat at random and talk about them until we're bored. And that's the whole show. So, and yeah, if you're hearing this, it means somebody dropped the ball somewhere.
Yep.
There was an ice storm, or somebody died.
Or someone's ill, or there's a flood.
The apocalypse.
Something.
Yeah.
Over in the other universe has prevented the two guys who usually host this show from doing it.
Laziness.
And the hat can't tolerate there not being a show, so it enlists us to do it.
Yes, yes.
Usually, our Thursdays are free, but every once in a while we end up here.
Yeah, I miss bowling for this.
Yeah.
And I love to bowl, so I'm kind of pissed.
Yep.
So, William, how was your unspecified amount of time?
Oh, you know how it usually is. It was.
I assumed.
Yep. And you?
Are your things going well?
Yeah.
What about those things that usually go bad? Are they still going bad?
Well, not so bad this
unspecified
period of time, but, you know, you always have to be ready.
Yeah.
Hope for the best, prepare for the worst. You know how it is.
My bad things are actually also doing well.
Huh.
My good things are shit right now, so...
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
You know, those things that I usually say, hey, this is good.
Right.
Not so much now.
Oh, that's too bad.
But the bad things are okay, so...
Of course,
you know,
thinking of our listeners now, our bad things are their good things, and their good things are our bad things.
So. Why can't we all just be evil?
I don't know.
It would make things so much simpler.
Yeah, it's very annoying that there's a good universe.
You know how every 4 years you guys have to worry about electing the president and who's going to be... We don't have that problem. No politician is nice enough to actually give us an election. We haven't been able to vote as long as I've been alive. And I've been alive for 327 years.
It kind of makes things easier.
Our years are shorter, just so you know.
Kind of makes things easier when you think about it.
Fascism is comfortable.
Yeah, well, why do we allow the good universe even to continue existing? Can't we do something about that?
We have people working on it.
Oh, good.
I shouldn't say more, because apparently the grand plan to deal with it can be thwarted with a common household item found just about everywhere in the good universe. So I don't really want to tip them off. But yeah, we're working on it.
Okay,
I'll tell you off the air.
Good, excellent.
Glad
to know that. I'll sleep better tonight.
Yes. By which you mean worse. No, wait, that's Bizarro. That's a different thing entirely.
Oh, you're crazy.
Oh, Bizarro Superman. All right, so let's just jump into this, I guess.
Yep. The sooner we do, the sooner it's over.
Little musical interlude for you folks there.
Oh, let's see here. Hello.
Hello.
Mystical Chapeau. Kind of rhymes, doesn't it?
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Mystical Chapeau.
Mystical Chapeau.
That's the worst poem I ever heard.
How do I find out about involvement in Wrangler Williams' project? Honestly, Gabrielized, a.k.a. Sue Klaus. What are they, what? What is she talking
I'm
about?
I'm not sure who... Is this a third dimension?
I don't know.
Called Williams. Depth? I'm not sure who Wrangler Williams is. Now,
is this
Good William
this the alternate?
Does have several projects.
He does.
Yes.
I thought only evil people had projects.
No, schemes. We have schemes.
Right.
They have projects.
I see.
He has several. He has a radio drama about Briar Rose going on. And then they have other things that, depending on when this has aired, I don't know if they've told people or not. So I shouldn't say anything.
You're just keeping all kinds of secrets tonight. What's up with that?
That's my scheme.
Schemers.
I would guess...
We're schemers.
Most likely, you should contact this Wrangler William via some sort of electronic mailing system.
Which I do believe they have over there. I mean, yeah, that's the whole point, right? Because of the hat.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have that.
Or, barring that, go to the blog... magicaltalkinghat.com and say, hey, Wrangler William.
What's he wrangle? Maybe the hat.
Projects, apparently. Maybe, I don't know.
Or, yeah. Or maybe it's the hat.
Jeans.
Hat Wrangler, you think? Maybe.
Possibly.
That's probably what it means.
Hat Wrangler? I don't know. I've never heard of Wrangler William.
I don't know. I mean, the only William I know of is the alternate universe William who... annoys us. Annoys everybody, I think.
And William Connolly, but he usually goes by Billy.
I mean, well, okay, yeah, that's right.
You know what I really I have to say about this?
What?
Wrangler William, I don't even know her.
Okay.
Sedate mood we have tonight here.
Are we ready to draw something else then?
Or? You don't feel like we have plumbed the full creative depth?
First of all, it's a pretty straightforward question, and we don't really know. the answer.
Is it really?
I think the answers you've given are adequate.
Look into your heart.
Look into my black heart.
Your black, black heart.
Yeah, Got nothing. What do you want me to say?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Dude, just because it's a different dimension doesn't mean I don't still just give you shit for giving you shit.
That's right.
All right. All right. This next question is not a question. It's part of the hat, so I probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
I should probably try again.
One of the hat's appendages.
Because it has appendages.
I suppose people don't usually think of hats as having appendages, but our hat does. Makes one wonder why we call it a hat. But that's silly. Obviously, because we put it on your head.
Yeah. Also, we didn't come up with that.
No, that's true.
It was written in the ancient texts. This one's anonymous and really has no preamble to it. It's just some... Right there.
Okay,
you know?
It's just right there.
Just a splat of words with a question mark at the end.
Sounds like a lot of novels I've read.
Have you ever had a strongly different reaction to a book or movie after reading/seeing it again after many years?
Well, you've often talked about that.
The Suck Fairy.
Yes.
The Suck Fairy and its cousins, the Sexism Fairy, the Racism Fairy, and the Message Fairy.
You know, I read The Legend of Sleepy Hollow recently.
Oh, really?
Which, you know, I've in previous times been quite a fan of. And there are a couple of somewhat racist lines in that. That I did not recall.
Yeah.
Now, in this case, I'm not sure if I had previously read a sanitized
Ooh.
Version of the story. Because I think I would have remembered.
You know.
Because the last time I read it was not that long ago.
You know that the runaway slave in Huck Finn is not called N-Word Jim, right? You know that's not his name.
No, so. But I'm pretty sure the version I read before must have been sanitized because... I think I'd have remembered it.
That's interesting. I want to brace people about the Suck Fairy, because I think it's a wonderful concept. And the problem being, the phrase... This came from an article many years ago that I'm a big fan of. I don't remember who did it, though. And the problem is, the phrase Suck Fairy has some real SEO issues. It's very difficult to go and hunt on the internet for that phrase and hope to get an article talking about the passage of time in beloved books.
I would imagine so.
But if you are so brave, you can go for it. Look for the Suck Fairy and see if you can find this article. But the basics is this. There is a little mystical fairy that goes to books that you loved when you were younger or in your earlier days and severely reduces the quality of them. And it's not uncommon, especially books you loved as a kid, if you read them later.
Just generically the quality.
Yes.
But
it
then
makes
there are
just worse.
Then there are specific.
There are very specific fairies that are the Sexism Fairy, mm-hmm. the Racism Fairy, mm-hmm. and the Message Fairy, or the Agenda Fairy, you might say.
For example, if you enjoyed The Chronicles of Narnia.
The Chronicles of Narnia... I loved as a kid.
And when you read it now...
The Message Fairy just shat all over it.
Yeah, and then you notice there's a lot of themes and messages in it that kind of overshadow
and
the story.
And I'll tell you this,
not
only... When I first read it, I didn't know it was a Christian allegory. That's how much the Message Fairy got to it. I mean, admittedly, I understand that, but like, oh God, it's so heavy duty in there. The Message Fairy
in a distracting way for you, so that
it takes
away from your enjoyment.
Almost sort of ridiculously, I laughed in places because it was just so intense and
over the top,
silly.
Yeah.
I also had a similar experience with a nonfiction book. It's sort of an essay book called Spiral Dance by a woman named Starhawk. It is a neo-pagan sort of introductory book and workbook and spell book and things like that. It's a book that many people, including myself, picked up in late teens, early 20s, and it changed their lives and their religions. And years later, I went to read it again because it was such an important book in my life. And the intense, heavy-handed political message in it, like the way that it was so pushing a particular agenda, like I had never noticed before. And it was really disturbing. The Suck Fairy got to the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen movie really fast. I saw that movie in the theater, and I was quite a fan.
Really?
Enough so that I bought the DVD.
Seriously?
And I showed it to the producer. I loved it at the time, and I showed it to the producer. And this was maybe 6 months later, and we're watching it, and about midway through, she can't stop herself anymore, and she says to me, honestly, this movie kind of sucks. And I said, it does. I don't know what happened. It didn't suck when I watched it the last time, but it really sucks now. And it really sucks.
That's interesting.
It is a fascinating concept. I think it can come up more. The Chronicles of Amber. Love that series. The sexism fairy just hung out in that book for days, apparently. The sexism fairy just hosed that thing down. And it makes sense now in retrospect because it was written in the 70s by a man. And so it very much has that vibe to it. But damn. It was very rough to deal with. How about you?
Well, as I said, I recently read Legends
Sleepy Hollow, and the racism fairy snuck in there.
Yeah, although again, I really think that I must have read, because I think I read it in a little publication that you might find in a school library or something.
Yeah.
So I think they may be sanitized.
Have you read Huck Finn and the Robot, or Huck Finn with Robots?
No.
Do you know this thing?
No.
It's a fascinating thing. Somebody took Huckleberry Finn and replaced the N-word in it with the word robot throughout the entire book.
Okay.
And people are originally like, oh yeah, it's like Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. No, apparently it makes for a fascinating piece of social commentary. It's really, and they have illustrations in it which are adorable. But it's the exact same text. They just replaced every N-word with robot.
Now, most TV shows that I enjoyed when I was a kid don't really hold up.
That's true.
But I watched a couple episodes of the old 70s series of Buck Rogers recently.
Really?
Yes.
When Disco was still alive.
Well, that's the funny thing is that he supposedly disappears in 1987.
1985. The year is 1985.
Well, really, in the TV show, they said 87.
Oh, is it 87? The year is 1987.
87. Maybe in the
yes,
film.
Yes, no, I think you're right. The year is 1987, and NASA launches The Last of America's Deep Space Probes.
But he makes references to Disco like Disco was still
just
popular in 1987, which obviously it wasn't.
And, of course, Twiggy's in love with Meatloaf.
But it wasn't as bad as I expected it would be. It's bad.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that it's good, but it's not as bad as I thought it would be. And then I watched the 1939 film serials with Buster Crabb as Buck Rogers, and those are great. I mean, they're so good.
To put it in perspective, people.
But I didn't. Of course, I didn't see those when I was younger. You know, I'm just seeing them now and thinking, wow, this is so good.
I always get fascinated. I had this with the original Battlestar Galactica and the original Buck Rogers, or no, the 70s Buck Rogers.
No, I actually saw original Battlestar Galactica recently, and nothing about it was good as far as
really,
I
that's too
I,
bad.
I didn't like any part
but
of
what
it.
I'm always amazed about is how short they are. In my mind, those shows went on for years.
Battlestar
Galactica, 25 episodes, one season. Buck Rogers, a season and a half, 30 episodes.
Yep. I was really surprised by how... I really thought it would just be through and through awful. Kind of like, really, Battlestar Galactica didn't appeal to me at all, the original. And I remember watching that when I was a kid. We had a big... I probably have said this on the podcast before. It was the only big row we ever had in our house was, you know, Mom wanted to watch The Sound of Music on TV, and we wanted to watch Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
But, Yeah, I thought it was interesting what they did with it, actually.
As a kid, I liked Buck Rogers better. As an adult, I find... I mean, looking back, again, I haven't watched them recently, that I like the old Battlestar Galactica better. I don't know why. I think there was something a little more grim about... I think this is a similar thing to when I was younger. I was more a Star Trek kid than a lot of other sci-fi. And then when I got older, I was less into it because it was bright and shiny and sort of utopian. And Buck Rogers was sort of that way as well.
Mm,
whereas Battlestar Galactica, you know, at least we're, you know,
Pretty gritty, ragtag fusion. Right,
well, gritty
right.
for the time. I mean, you know, then the new BSG came out and said, you don't know from fucking gritty. Goddamn Battlestar Lollipop compared to this shit.
Well, another thing I found interesting was in the 1939 version of Buck Rogers. Well, I didn't know that the 70s version of Buck Rogers borrowed a lot from that serial.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
For example, in the very first Buck Rogers stories, what happens is Buck goes into a mine and there's a cave-in and he's preserved by radioactive gases or whatever.
Okay.
That's the very first story. But in the serials, he is frozen in suspended animation and then discovered later in 500 Years in the Future.
Which is what they did
in the film and in the TV show. And also, in the film, Buck inadvertently helps enemy forces make their way through very specific... passage to the hidden city or to the fortress or whatever. That happens in the 39 version and in the movie, kind of. I thought in the movie they just made all that up to kind of update the story, but they actually took cues from the 1939 serial.
And both Buck Rogers, the 70s version, and Battlestar Galactica, the 70s version, have that weird opening sequence where they have concentric rings coming out, which I always thought was so awesome. Both the 70s version of Buck Rogers and the 1930s version actually go back to... They both have the same origin from an animated version called Duck Dodgers in the 24th and a half century.
That's right.
Yes.
Which was awesome.
They brought that back, you know, a few years ago.
Daffy Duck is my...
They did a new version of Duck Dodgers.
Daffy Duck is my favorite Warner Brothers character.
I fucking hated Daffy Duck.
I love Duck Dodgers.
As I get older, I appreciate him much more. At the time, I fucking hated him.
Oh, man.
Now I pretty much feel like I am him.
He's my favorite. But, yeah, I don't know. That pretty much... I mean, you know, of course, like Dukes of Hazzard. We used to watch that when I was a kid.
Dude.
And...
That's just weird now.
Can't hold up now.
A-Team held up better than I expected. I saw that recently.
Yeah, but I doubt I'd like
it. Knight Rider did not hold up for shit.
I'm pretty sure I wouldn't like that. Now, hey, here's something that holds up pretty good. Mm-hmm. Columbo.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good. We've watched a few Columbos on Netflix. Not too bad.
Mm.
That character's pretty solid. I mean, maybe the stories don't hold up as far as mysteries go, but that character...
I'm discovering more and more, though... the key to a lot of mystery shows is the characters. It's not the mysteries. Because, you know, there's only so many different ways you can kill folks.
Well, and along those lines, I think we tried to watch Murder, She Wrote just to see.
Oh, yeah?
And I remember when I was a kid, my mom was a huge fan, and we would watch it. And, you know, I wouldn't say I liked it.
Oh, I was a huge fan.
But
my parents and I watched that religiously.
But we watched it, and watching a few episodes, it wasn't very good. I mean...
I still want to create a drinking game for it, because it was the most fucking formulaic thing in the history of the world. I desperately want a drinking game for that.
Yeah, we didn't think it was that great. But I guess I didn't think it was that great to begin with.
We were all huge fans, because they were old fans of Angela Lansbury from years ago.
Well, and I think Angela Lansbury's great.
And that was my introduction to Angela Lansbury.
Yeah, for whatever reason, I didn't
also,
think...
Also, I'd be curious to look back...
She did a very good job in that show.
Magnum P.I.
Oh, God.
Loved that show. I'd be very curious what that
Hey,
like.
What was that show that...
Magnum P.I.
No, there was another show kind of around the same time, and I think the... It took place in Texas or something.
Simon and Simon?
No. And the main character was Texan. And the woman who was in Buck Rogers, who she played the princess,
Erin Gray. Oh, the princess. Okay, Pamela something.
She was in this show.
Oh.
You don't remember this?
Wasn't Dallas?
No. He was like a detective or something, too. And I cannot remember.
Wasn't Fall Guy?
You know, I should just look on IMDb or something, but...
Yeah.
You don't remember this. Houston something?
Yeah, no, I think you made that up.
Matt Houston, maybe, or something Houston? Or maybe it took place in Houston. I don't know. You don't have any
Angelica
idea what I'm talking
about. Angelica Houston?
You don't have any idea what I'm talking about.
I do not. I think... That tumor is finally pressing
no.
spot in your
It was
brain.
The only other TV show, that woman who was the princess in Buck Rogers, was the only other TV show I ever saw her in.
And I never saw her in anything else. So.
And the guy...
God, she was so fucking hot.
The guy that...
I mean, I liked Wilma Deering, but that princess, Jesus fucking Christ. Oh, man.
Anyways, maybe one
I have such a thing for her. I still look her up sometimes now.
Who?
That woman.
Oh. Well, then you can find out what show
so
she was in.
Fucking hot.
But, calm down over there, jeez.
Damn, this is my childhood. Puberty was kicking in when I was watching this shit. That's also how I always remember the guy who was the sort of older mentor character in the first season of Buck Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
Very accomplished and prolific actor for decades.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
And to me, that's always who he is.
I don't remember his name, though.
I don't either. But
I do think it's interesting in the Buck Rogers... Here's what I...
It's like all the kids who only know Alec Guinness as the guy who was Obi-Wan. You
yeah.
know?
One thing that I found interesting about the 70s Buck Rogers that I didn't notice, of course, while I was watching as a kid, yeah. was the thing that they predicted about human society... that Buck needed to sort of address. And because in the original Buck Rogers story, Buck Rogers had been someone who fought in World War I. And 500 years in the future, the United States had been taken over by, in a sequel, they were aliens, but in the original, that seemed like they were, you know, Chinese or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they lived in the cities and they controlled everything and they left... regular Americans out in the country to sort of...
I feel dirty just that you said regular Americans.
to fend for themselves. Now, of course, in his story, even though... I mean, actually, rural people are... You know, they can pretty much handle themselves. Outside the cities, things were scarce, and they had to really scrape by on a meager living. And they didn't know how to fight back. So when Buck Rogers... awoke 500 years later, you know, he was fresh.
Everybody was Chinese.
No, he was fresh out of the war, so he could teach them how to fight these people, and that was kind of that was a big part of why he was important. So in the TV show, they obviously wanted to do something similar. And so in their version of the future, remember, a council of artificial intelligent beings sort of
yes,
rule
that
things.
All look like CNCs.
Yeah, and human beings are sort of very logical and sort of not very emotional, kind of passionless or whatever. And they don't understand, like they're easily deceived because
yeah.
they're not very sophisticated.
I
about
seem to remember like
that.
They were all very serious. And,
yeah. And so that's what he brings to it. This sensibility of coming from a time during the Cold War and stuff. And he can kind of give them insight into, you know, bad people and emotions.
And that went on
like
to be such a big sci-fi trope, generally speaking, with humans versus other aliens. That was always the unique thing about humans, is that they were just that wild card,
yeah.
like, so often.
Well, but I thought
that
they
just, were very versatile.
It was just an interesting... I mean, yeah. I didn't know that the writer... I thought the people who did Buck Rogers in the 70s, you know, kind of just threw it together and did things with the characters to make them appeal to the popular audience in the 70s. I didn't realize anybody given very much thought to the story.
I feel like people in the 70s put way more thought into their TV shows than they do now.
Well, maybe that's true, but I just always had this notion that it was just kind of a silly thing that wasn't taken very seriously. And a lot of it is that, but
yes.
some of it was taken more seriously than I thought.
I love the disco one. I always remember the disco episode where they were hypnotizing the young people with some subsonic sound in the music or whatever. And the disco was, they all had these glowing, like, hoses, basically, that they would hold around, and it was so weird. Even as a kid, I'm like, what the fuck is going on? So yeah, Anonymous, sorry, we went a little heavily into TV there, but I haven't reread a lot of books. There's always too many new books.
Yeah, honestly, I'm really not one for rereading books at all.
I try to. I always want to, but there's always, you know, there's an infinite number of books I want to read in a finite period of time.
And I don't read a lot of fiction, so, I mean, it's kind of hard to go back and read a nonfiction book and go, wow, this is very different.
I am having the experience when I read things to the producer that I read before, but recently it's been stuff that I didn't read very long ago, and so it's less of an issue. Frequently, when it's anything that has some sort of mysterious component or, like, something that you might not guess or you have to figure out or a mystery component of any kind, rereading it exposes how stupid and easy the mystery was because the producer always figures it out way too early.
Well, and sort of spinning off of that point, oftentimes if you watch a movie or a TV show with someone else, it can really change the experience.
Oh, yeah.
If
like watching The Usual Suspects with another guy who had never seen The Usual Suspects, who tossed a theory at me in the first 30 minutes, and it proved to be right. So we both sort of got the movie spoiled for us on accident.
Yeah. Well,
that was very
weird. Well, I mean, if you like something, and then kind of like your experience with that film, I mean, maybe part of the reason that it wasn't as fun the next time is because you were watching it with someone who didn't like it.
Well, and sometimes it's the time and place. I have a good example of this. There's a movie out there called American Dreams. Dreams is spelled D-R-E-A-M-Z. It is a film about essentially American Idol and George W. Bush. It is a film where there's a fake version of American Idol, complete with Hugh Grant playing a fake version of Simon Cowell, and there's a story of some people going to be contestants on it and stuff, but there's also a plot line of a president who's very much like George W. Bush, with a vice president who's very much like Dick Cheney, is wildly unpopular, and in order to increase his popularity, he goes on the show as a guest judge. It is a comedy lampooning these things. It is not a very good movie. I saw it in the theater intentionally. I saw it when American Idol was at its height and when W was still president. And I laughed my ass off, and it was the most wonderful, cathartic film I had seen in a long time. Because right at that place in time, I needed people to be making fun of those things, and it hit home so perfectly. And I even left the theater saying, that was awesome. I'll bet that's actually a pretty shitty movie. And if I saw it later, it would be. And it is. It's not a good movie now. But for the time period, it was just brilliant. And I think there's a lot of things like that. I made the producer watch Babylon 5. I love Babylon 5 deep in my heart. It does not fucking hold up. It's kind of a hot mess now. It has glimmers, but it's kind of a hot mess. But at the time period, it was a different era. It was pre-9/11. It was the 90s. I was college age. There's a lot of stuff in it now that seemed kind of hacky and cliched. And you have to remember that at the time, that was actually fairly unusual in television. And yeah, it's at the time period, it was great. But some stuff, you know, things change and you look back and you're like, damn, suck fairy. But I think things can very much be a product of their time and a product of your time.
Yeah, yeah.
The Spiral Dance is a big version of that. I was at the right age where that worked really well. And it meant a lot to me. And I'm still glad I read it at that age. I just can't really read it now.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else.
Ever? All right. Is it your turn?
Yeah.
All right. Then draw something.
Well, I'm not very good at... Draw one. Question.
It's like that little
not
game.
Not draw a picture.
On that little app. Draw something.
Also anonymous?
Also anonymous.
If you could take a vacation in any fictional world from a book or movie, where would you go? I don't know. Fictional world, huh?
The world of Schindler's List. Wait, that's a terrible idea.
Yeah, and it's not entirely fictional.
No, so Diary of Anne Frank also out. These are the jokes, people.
What is wrong with you?
Holocaust jokes, that's what we got tonight.
Not funny.
I know, children, don't make fun of the Holocaust.
Just move on to something else, please.
All right. does porno count?
I'm going to say no. Thank you for asking first. That's very nice.
I love a fictitious world where you can just order a pizza and then... Yeah. There's a lot of worlds I find fascinating, but to actually like hang out in them makes me nervous sometimes. Because generally speaking, there's conflict in the books I read that makes those worlds somewhat dangerous. There is... I'll do this. There are some far future... Star Trek might actually be a good example. There are some far future sci-fi worlds that are built that are just, like, awesome, where technology is, like, so advanced and you can pretty much do anything you want and travel wherever you want instantaneously in some cases and else. I would like to do that. I think, actually, weirdly enough, I'm thinking of... There's a series of books called The Hyperion Cantos, and that series is set in the far future, and in the first book or two, it's set in a world like that. Later, it becomes sort of a post-apocalyptic thing, but in the first ones, it's a world where, like, they've got this technology, so they make gates that will just go to different planets and stuff, and it's really easy, such that, like, wealthy people frequently have houses where each room is in a different planet in a different star system. And, like, one guy has a workout room that's on a planet with heavier gravity because it'll be more of a workout and stuff like that. That kind of world, I think, would be awesome. And you could just go visit all the different planets just by taking a stroll and all that. I think that would be cool. And, yeah, like Star Trek, you know. Star Trek, you can go everywhere. And if you can't find something cool there, you just go to the holodeck, you know. Holodeck's awesome.
Well, that...
Holodeck would be a real easy answer anyway. Because then you're not in any danger.
Except
when it goes wrong, as it inevitably does.
Most of the things you're talking about would almost be a replacement for a vacation. Because you just go... I mean, a vacation entails you're going from one place and you're going to a completely different place for a period of time and staying there.
Yeah.
Rather than it's just a natural part of your existence that you can go from one room to the next and be on another planet.
Well, no.
Or go to the holodeck and be wherever you
want.
What
makes it a vacation is I'm going from here to there.
Okay, but if the whole house...
They're not asking for what's your favorite fictional vacation spot. They're asking what's your favorite fictional spot that you would want to vacation in.
Okay, so...
I would like to spend a month in Star Trek.
Star Trek, huh?
Well, or something similar, like I described.
I don't know.
I know to the Star Trek people that's not a vacation. For me, it's a vacation.
I don't know. Fictional world.
If you could guarantee my safety, there's some fantasy worlds I'd like to go to. If you could guarantee my safety, there's some pretty cool fantasy places. But
now, there's a fictional world that I'm creating for stories I want to tell that I do have to say, while I'm creating it, I think to myself, I'd really love to visit this place.
Is this Twilight Nurse? Because that's set in the real world.
No, yeah, that's in the real world. No. This is my alternate.
Oh, yes. I know this one.
That's one of the reasons I find it so exciting to study, to research the story, is because it just keeps looking like a place that I would like to, you know, live myself. And I think that's really the first time that's ever happened to me. Probably for me, the speculative fiction books that have meant the most to me have been the Isaac Asimov Foundation series and things like that, which I really like. And I suppose, you know, living in a world where there's androids and stuff like that would be fun, but it never occurred to me that, oh, I'd like to live in this place. And even,
oh yeah, I would totally not fucking want to live.
Well,
in
or even
Foundation
vacation there.
Series.
I mean, I read this.
You know, why I would not like to live in the Foundation series. Everybody is so fucking obsessed with cigars.
Okay.
They smoke so much in the Foundation series.
But I read this question and I can't. It doesn't. Nothing occurs to me that, you know, from fiction that I would actually want to be a part of. But as I'm writing, as I'm building this story that I'm working on now, I often do think that, and that's really the first time that's ever happened, which I suppose is good. I suppose it's good if you're writing about a fictional world and, you know, you're the one writing about it, that it's attractive to you and you want to be there. I suppose, unless it's a dystopia or something.
I should explain, when William was born, he came out of his mother and his first words, almost immediately, he was a very smart child, were, "Is this heaven?" And the doctor said, "No, it's Iowa."
Which, you know, that's an easy mistake to make.
This is what I'm saying. He doesn't want to go to somewhere fictitious to vacation because he's already in heaven.
Yeah, I love it here.
In Iowa. The producer...
And actually, my alternate universe still takes place in Iowa.
Shit.
In
I have something to tell you.
Version of Iowa.
I have something to tell you that I can't tell you
if
right now.
If that were possible.
Because it dates the episode, so I can't tell you right now. But remind me afterward. I have to tell you something the producer said that was hilarious.
Okay. Oh, hey, listen. You have to tell me something right after this.
Don't let me forget to tell you.
That's why I'm reminding you right now.
No, that's a different thing. Huh. If I say remind me right now, you can tell me right now and you fulfilled that request. I'm saying don't let me forget. So you can tell me right now and it won't help if I forget later. You have to not let me forget.
Okay. So if I just
keep usually am good about that wording.
If I just keep reminding you.
This is an important tip, people. When people want to pull that lame joke, and I say this as somebody who constantly pulls that lame joke. Or you say, remind me such and such, and they say, hey, don't forget such and such. Don't say remind me, say, don't let me forget later. Don't let me forget after whatever I need to.
But now I'm going to forget because you used the word forget. It's in my brain now.
And that's
what was
why
it?
You're a horrible friend.
I don't even remember now what you were talking about. Are we done?
Yeah, because you didn't come up with shit for your answer.
I don't have anything because I.
He's a terrible.
Like you pointed out, I love it here. And really, my alternate universe is just like if every place was like Iowa. This is what the whole world would be like. Ah, wouldn't that be great?
Oh, Jesus Christ! Seriously,
Sorry.
Someday,
you know, some people like where they live.
Someday,
and that's all right.
Somebody's gonna.
Yeah, see.
Somebody's going to put you... Do you want the whole world to be Iowa?
No, because then everyone will live here.
You know, that reminds me. One time I was talking to my dad about, you know, economic development in Iowa and stuff.
That must have been fun.
Well, I was saying, you know, well, we could do this and we could do that. And, you know, to get... To make things better for Iowa, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he acted totally baffled by what I was saying. And he said, why would we do all that stuff? What's the point of that? I said, well, because, you know, to get people to come here and live here. And then he said, well, we don't want those people here.
Yeah. Not in my fucking backyard. Motherfucker.
And then I realized, oh, this is why certain things don't happen in this state. And not that they need to, but, you know.
I have a vacation spot that I think you would love. That is fictitious.
That I would love?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
I don't know what it's called. I do know how you get there. You need to solve a little puzzle box referred to colloquially as the Lament Configuration. And when you solve that, it will open a door there.
Okay.
I'm just going to leave that there. People in the know, you can be laughing right now. The rest of you can look up the Lament Configuration and figure out what the fuck I'm talking about.
Be laughing?
Quite.
It's funny, huh?
It's hilarious.
Mm.
Okay. I would be laughing right now, but I'm dead inside. No, see, I don't want it. You don't give away all this. Sometimes it's a special treat for those who are in the know.
Kind of an elitist thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is myself and those listeners are better than you
and the other people listeners. That don't know.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm saying that. It's not that we don't appreciate you, but you are second class.
Fascist humor, people. Really, when it comes down to it. Sure.
We promised you trains on time. We promised you bread. We did not promise you humor. All right.
But we should have thought of that.
Of humor?
Yeah, we should have thought of humor. Maybe that should have been top on the list.
A lot of anonymous questions tonight.
3 out of 4.
This is one of them. Who has not been on Batman the Animated Series? It's very interesting because, yeah, Batman the Animated Series did sort of become like CSI. Like, everybody did one episode.
What do you mean? Like guests, like
guest voice actors,
famous people have done voices
all the time. Also, fun fact I learned not long ago: Harley Quinn, the Joker's sidekick, invented on Batman the Animated Series. Never existed before Batman.
Yeah, that's right.
I was not aware of that.
Oh no!
I assumed she had a comic book origin.
Oh no! That's where she started on Batman.
And then she went into the comics and was very successful. Had her own solo run, all sorts of stuff. Yeah. But started there.
That's right.
I find that kind of cool in its way.
Yep, that's right. She started there. Now, I mean, I haven't even watched very much of the animated series, but I knew she started there.
If you guys hear a weird noise in the background, Twiglet is pissed off.
I didn't know that they had a lot of celebrity voices. I didn't know that. I mean, I knew Mark Hamill did Joker, and he does Joker for a lot of things now, but video games too. But I didn't know that they had a lot of. Are you going to look something up?
Look.
Why didn't you look up that woman from Buck Rogers, then?
I thought about it, and then I decided not to.
And then you could tell me what show she was in. What are you doing? What is it you're looking up?
I'm trying to look up Batman the Animated Series.
To see how many people were in it as guests.
To see what people we might come across.
Well, not only that, but if there were a lot of guest voices and stuff, I'm surprised that most people even noticed or cared to, you know. I mean, I guess some adults watching might care, but some people don't even notice. I mean, when we're watching animated stuff at home, I'll often say, oh, that's so-and-so, and the people watching with me are like, really? Are you sure? And I'll look it up on IMDb, and that's who it is.
All right, let's see what we can find.
Like, we're playing Dishonored, a video game, not a cartoon, but we're playing Dishonored, and one of the voices in there I identified as, I can never remember this guy's name, but he was Wormtongue in Lord of the Rings.
And he was Peter Pettigrew in Harry Potter. No, sorry. Peter Pettigrew in Harry Potter was Churchill in The King's Speech.
Yeah,
I apologize.
But
no, I know the guy you mean.
And he was also in the third Myst video game. A lot of people don't know that. But yeah, he's the voice of one of these characters. And they said, are you sure? Oh yeah, I'll go look it up. And sure enough, it was him.
All right. Richard Mall from Night Court played Harvey Dent, a.k.a. Two-Face.
Really?
Yes.
That doesn't make very much sense.
Paul Williams was the Penguin. I think I knew that.
Oh.
Melissa Gilbert was Barbara Gordon.
That
was for 6 episodes. Ed Asner was in it. David Warner was in it. Ron Perlman. Roddy McDowell.
Roddy McDowell?
Played the Mad Hatter in 4 episodes.
Huh.
John Glover. I think I knew that one. Mark Singer. Ed Begley Jr.
yeah, some of these aren't that surprising.
Kate Mulgrew.
She does great voices, and
she does.
Do you
remember Gargoyles? It had every fucking person who was ever in Star Trek do voices in there. Kate Mulgrew did a voice. Brent Spiner did a voice. Michael Dorn did a voice. Jonathan Frakes did a voice. Marina Sirtis did a voice.
Michael Dorn. That's not
tons of them.
But I think Kate Mulgrew's great in the Dragon Age series as Witch of the Wilds. What's her name?
Oh, yeah. I know who you mean.
Really good.
Harry Hamlin, Treat Williams, Rene Auberjonois. I love Rene. I was just thinking that the other day. I love Rene Auberjonois.
It sounds like a lot of people weren't in the animated series, though. I mean, this is a pretty impressive list, but a lot of people.
I'm still going.
Harrison Ford, not in the animated
Joe
series.
Joe Piscopo. Peter Scolari. Michael York.
All right, now
Tim
again,
Curry.
See, again, Tim Curry's been in some things.
Tom Wilson.
And video games.
John DeLancey.
Let's see.
Tomoyo Kawai. I have no idea
who
that is.
Who else so far is not on this list?
That's about it.
Lots of people. Lots of people aren't on this list. Think about it. Lots of people.
Well, tell. You answer while I look up your stupid thing.
Sir Alec Guinness. You didn't mention him.
Don't talk to me about it. You don't even know.
And I realize both of those people were in Star Wars, so I should think of someone who's... Lauren Green. You didn't say Lauren Green. Of course, he was probably... Was he dead by then?
Yeah, Francis Bacon wasn't in Batman the Animated Series either.
Lillian Gish.
damn it.
Buster Keaton. You didn't mention him.
Janis Joplin wasn't there.
Elvis Presley. Didn't mention him. So lots of people not in Batman the Animated Series.
I fucking hate you. All right.
And I know you didn't mention Abraham Lincoln. Because that's probably not fair, because based on that movie, he was dead.
There's a famous quote from Abraham Lincoln that says, "Don't believe everything you read on the internet." That joke is only funny if you're reading it on the internet, so I apologize. All right, the actress in question is Pamela Hensley. And she is best known for Buck Rogers, a movie with the guy who played Maxwell Smart. Called The Nude Bomb in 1980,
yeah.
Rollerball, and a little something called Matt Houston.
Matt Houston! Oh, I had it right. Actually remember it right?
Where she played C.J. Parsons
for
67 episodes. She's still alive?
Wow, I can't believe I remembered the name of that show. There was...
It looks like she's still alive, but the last thing she was in was in 1985.
But, like, in the credits of the show, she said something better... Hang on to your something or other. She said she had this little... She had this... At the end of the credits, there was something she said. I don't remember what it was.
All right, let's look here. Matt Houston is an American crime drama series that aired on ABC from 1982 to 1985.
Yeah.
Matt Houston stars Lee Horsley as a wealthy, mustachioed Texas oil man named Matlock Matt Houston. I love... that Matt's your nickname. Matlock is your actual name. Who worked as a private investigator, like you do, in Los Angeles in his abundant free time. The show also stars Pamela Hensley as his lawyer sidekick, CJ, and George Weiner as his continually frustrated business manager. Why does he have a business manager? During the show's third and final season, Buddy Ebsen joined the cast.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Matt Houston's uncle, Roy Houston.
Yeah, I remember that.
Except you know it wasn't Roy Houston. You know it was Reggio Roy Houston, I'm sure.
Man, I forgot about that.
Most episodes typically involved one of Matt Houston's close friends being murdered or involved in some criminal enterprise requiring his assistance. Fortunately, CJ had access to an Apple III computer named Baby that contained a remarkable database on virtually all living and deceased persons, allowing her to provide all necessary information.
You don't remember the show?
No, but god damn it, it sounds awesome.
I'll bet YouTube has the opening credits.
It had the bat computer.
No, wait. I'll bet YouTube has the opening credits. And at the end of the credits, she says something, but I don't remember what it is.
Apple III named Baby.
Better hold on to your.
That contained a remarkable database on virtually all living in.
Yeah, I'll bet YouTube has like the opening credits, and she says this thing at the end, and I wish I could remember what it was.
Let me see if there's a good quote.
Or maybe it wasn't the credits. Maybe it was the promos or something. I don't remember.
We got nothing.
She has a distinctive voice, you know, and that's what made me remember it, because the way she said it sounded a specific way. But I forgot Buddy Ebsen was in it, like in the I can't believe we watched that show. We must have, if it was in the third season where Buddy Ebsen showed up, we must have watched it all the time.
Usually an episode was a close friend. It was Murder, She Wrote with a Texan.
An oil tycoon Texan.
Mustachioed.
Mustachioed. I can't believe I remembered the name of that show. I never remember stuff like that, ever. Well, I mean, I guess I do, because I did.
Yeah, no. She just hasn't acted since the 80s. Pamela Hensley reemerged in the literary world in 2004 with the publication of a small cookbook called The Jewish Sicilian Cookbook, authored under the name Pamela Hensley Vincent. She has been married to noted television executive producer E. Duke Vincent since the early 80s.
Hmm. Well, now you know. Just were dying to know, weren't you? Are we? We're probably about out of time.
Oh, this was the worst episode ever.
Yeah, pretty bad.
We read Wikipedia and IMDb for your entertainment.
Well, you know.
But we told you all about Matt Houston. I'm guessing a lot of you didn't know about Matt Houston. And really, that's the most enriching thing we can do.
Did I know about something that you didn't know about?
You did, yes.
Wow.
We knew there would be one.
Well, here someday. It is, Matt Houston. I'm kind of embarrassed about it, actually.
At this point, you're no longer needed. We got the one thing out of you.
Well, good, because I'm sick and tired of doing this stuff for them alternate universe yahoos.
You totally just said alternate universe.
Alternate,
that
sounds
I like said. Something on a Willy Wonka candy commercial.
Alternate. Actually,
out
alternate's
of the
even better.
Alternate universe.
If I did say that, that's awesome.
All right, well, we should wrap it up. We have no idea when we will talk to you
Thanks,
again.
Thanks, Sue, and all you anonymous people, whoever you are.
Anonyme.
In the multimate universe. Tasty.
That was really creepy. yeah, we will talk to you again sometime.
I don't
down
like
the
malted
road.
Milk balls, actually. Do you like malted milk balls?
I do. I don't want to, but I do.
I really don't like them.
Producer does not either.
I don't know why. They just don't taste very good.
Lately, Whoppers has been coming up with some alternate flavors. Peanut butter, strawberry milkshake. Those are very good.
I'm not sure that would help.
They're very tasty. In fact, now I'm craving them.
If you
Thanks
say
a
so.
Lot, fucker. Anyway, I'm sure next week you'll get the normal guys. So
probably.
Enjoy that. And in the meantime, write the hat, magicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Go to the blog, tell us how bad we sucked. Or maybe not. Maybe,
tell them. We don't care.
Maybe you have
tell them.
Insights beyond the ken of mortals. That got away from me there a little bit, but anyway.
They are mortal over there, aren't they?
Oh.
That's pretty pathetic.
And then we'll talk to you again whenever they have an emergency. So, good night, Mrs. Calabash.
Wherever you are.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.